Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. One of the most outrageous attributes of God is that He has chosen to share His power. He cares enough about us to empower us with His own strength, but only if we tap into it appropriately. And the key is that God gives power as power is needed. The same word that's translated power, the Greek word dunamis, it's found over 50 times in the New Testament. It's a word used to describe God, the most powerful force in the universe. It's a word that's used to describe the most powerful event that has ever happened, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what's interesting? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 says that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within us. And it's a word used to describe God's people who share the most powerful message. If you turn in your Bible just for a moment to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And what is that message? Well, I like to travel down what we call the Roman road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. None of us get away. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And God's Word says that even though that's the wage that we have for sin, death, God loves us so much. And He didn't love us to wait for us to get good enough, to get cleaned up enough for Him. It says, no, in Romans 5:8, that He demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that if, Romans 10:9-10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. But we need to call. We need to ask Him. Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to hear that message. And I want you to think about that message as we consider living powerfully. God wants us to find peace when we're stressed out. He wants us to experience endurance when we're empty. He wants us to know courage when we're afraid, and He wants us to employ power when we're weak. And so if you're there with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like you to look at verse 7. Where the apostle writes, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Who needs power in their life? The real question is, who doesn't need power in their life? Or who wouldn't want power in their life? I live in Baltimore City, and we have what are known as planned blackouts. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. BGE decides they're going to do maintenance on their systems. And so we get a letter in the mail that says, we're having a planned blackout. And it's going to be for about 6 hours. It's going to start at about this time to this time on this particular day. And then it says, before that date, call this number to see maybe that your blackout was canceled. We've had three of them since I've been living in Hamilton in this past year. And none of them have been canceled. One of them began at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. Now you can imagine what that did in our house, having no power between 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, with a household of people getting ready to go to church. Well, we try to get ready and do as many things as we can before the blackout happens. You know, we plan, well, you know, take all the showers, do all these things, you know, get everything as much as you can. But you know what? That never works. It just doesn't work. And in the end, all you do is just deal with it. You just kind of deal with that blackout and get through it. For many of us, our power has gone out. For many of us, our power has gone out. We just don't seem to have the energy to face life's demands. We don't seem to have the wisdom to handle life's issues. We don't seem to have the will to avoid temptations. We don't seem to have hope to face life's tragedies. And we don't seem to have the resolve often to do the right things. What are we to do? Well, let me tell you an old story. It's about a lady who lived on the seashore of Ireland at the turn of the 20th century. And she was quite wealthy, but she was also quite frugal. And so the people of the community were very surprised when she was one of the first to have electricity installed in her house. Several weeks after the installation, a meter reader asked if her electricity was working okay, and she assured him that everything was fine, it's working just fine. And so he asked, your meter shows scarcely any usage. Are you using your power? Of course, she answered. Each night, when the sun sets, I turn on my lights long enough to light my candles, and then I turn it off. She was tapped into the power, but she didn't use it. Her house was connected, but life wasn't changed. And I'm afraid that that happens to many of us from time to time. We can do that same thing. We accept Jesus Christ, His power to save our souls. But often our lives remain the same, connected, but not changed at all. We trust Jesus for salvation, but we resist the transformation that's to occur. We occasionally flip the power switch on for God's grace, but most of the time we settle for the candles of our old life, what we were used to. Tell me, what would happen if you left the switch on? What would happen if you stayed plugged in to that power source? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. It would always be readily available. But how do you do that? How do you get plugged in to God's power? It's not pushing the right buttons. It's not saying the right words and then suddenly being transformed. I've got three steps that'll help you share in God's incredible power. The first of these steps, affirm God's presence in your life. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. We have an all-powerful God who has a track record of strengthening His followers. We need to keep that truth at the forefront of our mind. God empowered Moses to lead the Jews out of Egypt. God empowered David in his battle with Goliath. He supported Daniel as he stood alone in the midst of hungry lions. And he emboldened Paul in all of his ministry trials. Keep before you those times when God has proven Himself. Are there times that God has proven Himself in your life? You can think back and God has shown just who He is and His power. He's proven Himself to you. Keep those things before you. He's trustworthy. He has been and He will be. And when I went to seminary, you go to seminary, usually you go with a family. And unless you have some stash of resources, most seminary students have to work while they study. So I had to work, and I knew going into seminary with my family, living on campus, going to school full time, that I was not going to be able to make enough money to meet the needs. We knew going in that we were going to have to trust God for at least 30 to 35% of what our monthly needs were going to be, for him to provide for those. I wanted to see God, and I wanted to prove God in his trustworthiness as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And I went out, before I arrived at campus for those 3 years, I went out and bought a spiral notebook, just a regular standard 8.5 by 11 spiral notebook. And I dedicated that notebook to keeping track of every time God met a need, whatever that need was. I dedicated one or two lines to it. I would put the date, how God provided, what the need was. I still have that notebook. I would often, when times were getting tough, when there was it seemed to be a drought in God's provision, and it was getting dry out there, and the ground was getting cracked, and there didn't seem to be any water coming, I would take out that notebook and I would read through it, and I would be encouraged. Keep before you those times that God has proven himself to be trustworthy. I don't know what your way is. That was one way that I did. I have other ways that at other times of keeping before my eyes, keeping before my mind, those times that God showed himself to be trustworthy. So affirm God's presence in your life. The second thing I want you to, the second step in getting plugged in is admit that you need God's power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It's Paul. He'd been praying that God would take away some thing that was giving him trouble. And he had prayed 3 times, he said, for God to take away this thing. And God didn't do it. God answered him. When Paul said, take this thing away, give me relief, give me a healing from this thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the apostle writes, and he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You need God's power. I need God's power. You know, there's a myth that goes around, and it goes like this. Are you ready? God helps those who help themselves. We are so prone to buy into that statement. You know why? Because we get ourselves educated, we work hard to reach a level of prosperity, and we get ourselves out of so many tight spots through our own resources. If you're going to tap into God's power, that statement couldn't be further from the truth. And let me tell you what the truth is. Are you ready? The truth is, God helps those who realize they need help. We're filled with God's power by emptying ourselves of that pretense that we can get by on our own. Until we admit that we're powerless by ourselves, we're basically like a car that's stuck in the mud. Those wheels are spinning, there's a whole lot of noise, and there's a whole lot of mud flying. But there's no progress. There's no movement. We need to ask God for his power. We need to admit that we need it, and then we need to ask him for his power. James in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says that you don't have because you don't ask. Too often, we want God's intervention in our lives, but we never ask for it. He wants to give us his strength if only we would ask. So, affirm God's presence, admit that you need his power, and then third, align your will with God's will. John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. We want God's power, and we usually want God's power so that we can accomplish our agenda. But that's not what God's about. God wants us to have his power, but he gives us his strength so that we can accomplish his plan and his purposes through our lives. Let me tell you a little secret about the Christian life. The Christian life isn't lived by us. The Christian life is lived by Jesus through us. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's all about what he wants and what he's doing, not about what we want and what we're doing. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That means that you and I need to be intimately connected with God and His purposes. He goes on to say, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. When we're working with God, He's willing to give us the power to accomplish great things. And then he finishes that verse with a warning, for without me, you can do nothing. When we're pursuing our own agenda, we shouldn't expect God to get involved. We shouldn't expect Him to contribute. But when we're in line with His plans and His purposes, He will strengthen us with His power. Something that I began back when I was pastor, anytime there was a group together where there was any kind of interaction, there was a question that I would always ask. And there was a reason why I would ask it. How are you and Jesus getting along? How are you and Jesus getting along? What I want is I want you to think like God. I want you to think from His perspective. I want you to see life from His perspective. Before I would accept any prayer requests, I would open it up for praise. Because you see, so often we overlook much of what God is about and what God is doing. So I say, you know, how are you and Jesus getting along? What's He doing in your life? What are you doing with Him? And in the beginning, it was tough. But then after a while, people got into it. In the beginning, it was things like, well, I woke up breathing this morning. Yeah, well, that's a good reason to get praise. But I want to hear some tangible thing that happened within the last week or days or a couple of weeks if I haven't seen you. If you haven't been to church in a few weeks, you know. What can you give God praise for? I want you to look at life from God's perspective. I want you to see life with God's eyes, with His view. My sermon preparation professor, he said, learn to see when you look. But what in the world does that mean? You know, we can look and not see a thing. He said, learn to see when you look. And we need to learn to see what God is about. We need to pay attention. And the more we pay attention and see what God is about and keep those things before us, we're going to gain His perspective. We're going to gain His mind. And we're going to begin to make judgments. We're going to begin to make decisions based upon that. And they're going to be right decisions. And we're going to get the promise where it says that He's going to give us what we pray for. Because we're going to be on the same page with Him. Affirm God's presence in your life. Admit that you have need for His power. And get your life aligned with God's will. Get your will aligned with God's will. But you know, there are times when we don't feel empowered. Even after we've affirmed God's presence. Even after we've admitted our need. And even after we've been aligning our will with His will. What do we do in those times? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. Do it when you feel like it and do it when you don't feel like it. Somebody said once that it's kind of like eating breakfast and the difference between dry cereal and peaches and cream. Peaches and cream's not, that's not hard to get into, is it? Not hard to get into. You love eating that breakfast, but boy, then put a bowl of dry cereal in front of you. When you do by faith, when you act by faith, what God tells you to do, out of season, eventually it becomes in season. That bowl of dry cereal can become peaches and cream. It may start out dry, but God won't leave you that way. Simply act out of obedience to God. When you don't feel like it, simply act out of obedience to God. Take action by proceeding down that road that God wants you to go, knowing that He'll give you the power, knowing that He'll give you what's needed. That's demonstrating faith. Faith is not simply believing. Faith is believing and taking action in accordance with what you believe.